sometimes when you answer questions in halacha for a living, and you hear about how real significant poskim deal with certain shailas, it could be a very humbling experience. One of the hardest parts is when there's a time pressure question where you got to think atat right now. You don't have time to look into it. You can't do any research. So just how do you react in a shasat chak situation to answer a shaila? So I heard a maisa recently from Rabbi Shmuel Marcus told me about a shaila that was asked to Rav Shlomo Miller in Toronto. He's one of the Gedolei HaPoskim. He's a very big posek in Toronto. And Marcus told me the shaila, and I could not think of a solution. And he told me Rav Shlomo Miller's solution and how he thought of it mamish on the spot without blinking an eye. And I was very, very mispa'il, very blown away by that. And I want to share that shaila with you and what the potential other solutions that Rosh Hashanah Miller did not say might have been and why they are not valid solutions. I tried this in my shul this past Shabbos. I asked this shaila on Friday night, so everyone has time to think about it over Shabbos, and people all day Shabbos would come over to me asking me, this, does this solution work, that solution work? Shaila is like this. There was a Sheva Brachos, apparently, that was going on in Toronto on Shabbos, so Shabbos Sheva Brachos. And a person had prepared, the people making the Sheva Brachos had prepared a massive challenge for the Sheva Brachos, for the Shabbos Day Sheva Brachos, and it was in a very large crock pot. And they had they realized a couple of minutes after Shkia, just after sunset on Friday night, that they had forgotten to turn on the crock pot. Cholent was completely raw, and it had not been turned on. So normally, when you're dealing with the situation bin hashmashos, and you have to do something, you forgot to turn on the light, and it's bin hashmashos, so you have a simple eitzah. It's bin hashmashos, amir la'akum is a shvus, so you could, and it's a tzorech, so you could ask a guy to turn on the light for you. So the simple eitzah would be, they have a guy available to them. Simple eitzah would be, so ask a guy to turn on the crock pot. What's the problem? If you ask a guy to turn on the crock pot, the guy is cooking the cholent. If the guy cooks the cholent, you got pishalakum. So now what do you do? So this is a catch-22. The Jew can't cook it because it's Shabbos. The guy can't cook it because it's bishalakum. So what do you do? So that was the challenge I posed on Friday night. Let people think about it. Shlomo Miller came up with an eitzah of mamish on the spot that is glot. 100% glot. There's no way to take issue with it, as far as I can tell. So immediately, someone said to me, someone mouthed it to me as I was saying the question. Have a kid do it. Ask a child to do it. So isn't that okay? Can't you just ask a child to do it? So what's the problem with that? Why is that not a good? We'll go through four possibilities that are not a good eitzah, and then we'll go through what is a good eitzah. So Anu, why is having a kid do it not a good eitzah?
It's like they had your dad or something.
Yeah, so there's a problem. The problem is there's a pasuk in Chumash that says that you're not allowed to do malacha ato uvincha uvitecha, that you're not allowed to have your children do malacha for you on Shabbos. Why do people do that? So people seem to do it. That if you ask around, they seem to have this practice of sometimes having children do malacha for them. So that probably comes from a misunderstanding of the halacha a little bit. Any child who does a malacha al das aviv imo, he's doing it for the sake of his parents. He's doing it to make his parents happy. So the halacha is very clear that you cannot allow. You have to stop the child from doing that. If he's doing the malacha for his parents, so that's a violation of that pasuk. Can't do the malacha in that situation. If he's doing the malacha stam because he wants to do. First of all, if he's at the age of chinuch, then forget about it. And obviously, it's a non-starter. You can't ask a child at the age of chinuch to do anything. But let's assume he's below the age of chinuch. So if he's doing the malacha stam for himself, you have a kid picks up a toy that makes noise and has bells and whistles and whatever, and sings to him. So the two-year-old kid, you don't have to pull away the toy from him. If you don't like the noise on Shabbos, you should put it away before Shabbos. You think it's a zilzul Shabbos, put it away before Shabbos. You don't have to make the kid cry and pull the toy away from him. He's doing that for himself. He's not doing that for you. If let's say it used to happen in my shul sometimes when my shul used to be in my basement, so every once in a while someone would knock into the light and the light would turn off. And the thing about basements is that when the light is off in the basement, it is dark. So what would you do? So sometimes you'd you take a kid who's below the age of chinuch and can't ask him to do anything. You're not allowed to ask him to do anything. He's not allowed to do it for you. Just put him in front of the light, see what he does. So sometimes if he's in the mood, he'll turn on the light, and sometimes if he's not in the mood, he won't turn on the light. No, so what could you do? So having a kid do it is not a simple eitzah, because it's a violation of the halacha. You're not allowed to ask a kid to do something for you. There is an interesting eitzah that Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn quotes in his book, Children in Halacha, from Rav Scheinberg. He quotes from Rav Scheinberg the following possible suggestion. He says if you have two children who are both below the age of chinuch, let's say you have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, is the example he gives. He says you can ask the 4-year-old to ask the 3-year-old to do it, as long as the 3-year-old doesn't realize that it's being done for you. If the 3-year-old realizes it's being done for adults, so then it's a problem. But otherwise, you could ask a 4-year-old to ask a 3-year-old, and that will be okay, because they're both below the age of chinuch. 4-year-old's not actually doing anything, he's just asking a 3-year-old. The 3-year-old is below the age of chinuch and doesn't realize he's doing it for his parents, he's just a stam doing it. So that would work. So if you had, in this situation, Rav Shlomo Miller did not suggest this, according to Rav Sheinberg, if you had a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old available, and the 4-year-old was able to communicate to the 3-year-old without the parents, see, this is a very big yitzhahara parents have. Let's say the case I said before, the lights are off and you need the kid to turn on the light. So the halacha, you could put the kid in front of the light, you just can't ask him to do anything. So a lot of times when a parent has the kid in front of the light, it's a big yitzhahara to say, come on, just turn it on. So you have to just like really just let him be and let him figure out. And if he's, you know, my kids, it was never a problem. If I would ask them to do it, they wouldn't do it. So if you don't ask them, then they'll do it. So it was pretty easy. But
could you reverse psychology and say don't turn don't
yeah, yeah, as long as they think that they don't think they're doing it for you. If they don't think they're doing it for you, then it's okay. Again, provided that they're below the age of chinuch. The isser of telling them to do it is also a violation of los achilim, that you're not allowed to, the Gemara in Yevamos Kuf Yud Gimel Kuf Yud Dalet talks about that you're not allowed to give an isser to a child, you're not allowed to be machal biyadayim, an isser to a child. So you can't provide them with an isser that they're going to do, you can't encourage them to do an isser, even below the age of chinuch. That's separate from the mitzvah of chinuch. That's you can't give a child non-kosher food even when they're below the age of chinuch, partially because of that, partially because of the concern of Timtum Alev, which is a whole different concern that we assume that it has a negative effect, that non-kosher food has a negative effect. You probably saw a little bit in yesterday's parsha. Different Rishonim talk about why it is that non-kosher foods are usser. So some of the Rishonim assume that they all assume that in some way it's damaging to us. That the tam for the mitzvah that is damaging, whether it be physically, like Sefer Achinuch says, or spiritually, like the Ramban says, in some way it's a damaging thing to us. But there is this concept of Timtum Alev, the Ma'achalos Asura specifically causes some sort of negative spiritual effect. But aside from that, there's Nisr of Los Achilim, not allowed to give an Isr to a child. So just having a kid do it, I didn't think that really helps us. I didn't think that really solves the problem. So any other Eitzah besides having a kid do it? So a bunch of people right away said, a number of people came up to me over the course of Shabbos and said, timer, use a timer. So I said, okay, and do what with it? Meaning, it's easy to say the word timer, but what do you do with the timer that will make it okay? So someone said, here's what you do. You have the guy plug the thing into a timer that will set it to turn on, let's say, at 9 o'clock, and then you put a thing in that will make it turn on at 8 o'clock. So that way you're making it turn on earlier, so it's the Jew doing the cooking, but it's not going to be a violation of Shabbos because it's only grama. Because it's such a time delay till it actually turns on. So that would be great if Poskim actually held that you're allowed to make something turn on earlier. Problem is, all Poskim hold, pretty much, that you're not allowed to make things turn on earlier. I mean, Rav Moshe happens to be very strict on timers in general. First of all, he doesn't think you should use timers, just as he thinks then it's going to be a tremendous illness of Shabbos, the whole world will just run on timers and everything's going to run like it would during the week. He doesn't like the idea of using timers. He said, okay, people already know it, to use it for lights, so you can't ask for it, but for anything else, you shouldn't use timers. But even absent that concern of Rav Moshe thinks it's a significant problem to adjust the timer on Shabbos in whichever direction. To make it go on earlier, later, whatever, in whichever direction, he thinks it's a significant problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a more moderate approach to timers. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that to make something happen earlier, first of all, there may be a difference between Havara versus Kibui, turning something on versus turning something off. But to make it happen earlier, let's say the lights are off now, and you're going to adjust the timer to make it turn on earlier, to make something happen, to make something change earlier, that's us. You're not allowed to do it. To keep the status quo for longer, make it happen later, would be mutter. So let's say it's scheduled to turn on at 8 o'clock, and you adjust it to make it turn on at 9 o'clock, so that would be mutter. So maybe, would that be an eight over here? Adjust it to turn on later, right? That would be, if that would be mutter, would that take away the Bishul Akum problem? Because a Jew has now set it, set the, you know, set it in, set when it's going to time on. Maybe. It's certainly not pashut. Also, how to adjust the timer is not pashut, because normally it involves taking out a peg and then putting the peg in somewhere else. The second you remove the peg, so now it's supposed to stay status quo forever. And then when you put the peg back in, so now you're making it turn on earlier than it would have turned on, because it wasn't going to turn on at all once you had removed the peg. So if you have another peg that you could put in its place, and you keep the 8 o'clock peg in, then while the 8 o'clock peg is in, put the peg in the 9 o'clock slot, and then pull the 8 o'clock peg out, right? That may be better. So, yeah?
It's kind of also having your cake and eating it too, if you do that, because if you say that it's fine for the Jew to do to for a Jew to move it later, then it works, and you're saying that the Jew is overriding the non-Jew. It's like you're saying he has an active role in turning the light.
Yeah, but if it's done in such an indirect way, then it could be that that's not called a melach on Shabbos. I mean, maybe the gedarim are different. Meaning to the gedar for bishalakum is that you're not allowed to have the cooking happen al yidei goy. So the emphasis, as long as it's not al yidei goy, maybe this is considered that it's happening by itself. It's not by the goy, it's not by the Jew. I mean, you're right. If we say that it's happening by the goy, the problem is going to be bishalakum. If the Jew is doing it, then it's a problem of melacha on Shabbos. Maybe this, when you do the timers, nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing the melacha. No one's doing the bishal. And therefore, it's not a problem of bishalakum, because there's no chash chasnos with nobody, right? With something that happens by itself. And it's not a problem of melacha on Shabbos. So it could be that would be an Eitzah if you would delay if it was set to turn on earlier and you make it turn on later. It could be that gets around the Bishalakum problem. It could be. It's certainly not glatt and 100% clear. Rav Moshe would hold that you're not allowed to do that. So it's certainly not, and you'd have to have the timer available with the extra pegs. So it's certainly not 100% clear that would be okay. But it's another Eitzah. Another Eitzah someone suggested is take some of the chalent and bring it to a hospital, and then it will be bishlakim l'tzorech chola, which you're allowed to do if the chola needs food, and once you've cooked it l'tzorech chola, so let everyone else eat from it also. So what's the problem with that Eitzah? Does the chola in the hospital need your chalent? You can't just stam do bishlakim l'tzorech chola when the chola needs food, and the only way to get it is al yidei bishlakim, because it happens to be Shabbos, and the only way to, so you can't cook on Shabbos, and you got to do akalak al tchila, so you got to do the lesser prohibition, so you do bishlakim. Okay, good, so then you're allowed to give it to the chola. So that's problem number one, is that the chola doesn't need your food. You're not to just do bishlakim so that you can give it to the chola. The chola is very happy with his hospital meals. Cholent is probably not going to be good for his illness anyway.
With chicken soup,
it's going to
be a different story.
Maybe chicken soup. So but he doesn't need anything that you're giving him. So that I don't think is a valid Eitzah in this situation. Plus, and if you make if you do bishlakum, so that makes it mutter for other people who aren't the chola to eat it. That's not true. If you have to do bishlakum with tzarech chola, it's still bishlakum. I mean, there are two ways to look at bishlakum. Do we assume that when a guy cooks something, that it's an isser on the mice of bishul? It's an isser in the act of cooking. Or do we assume, no, that it's not an issur in the Maisa Bishul, it's a cheftz of macholos asuros. That once the guy cooks, it becomes macholos asuros, it becomes non-kosher food. The main afkamina, whether it's a din in the mice, or that if you have some way to justify allowing him to cook the food. For a chola, you could justify that he cooked the food because you needed it for the chola. Yeah, but if that were the whole issue, okay, you got around the issue. But if it becomes a cheftz of macholos asuros, so yeah, the chola, because he's sick, is allowed to have this macholos asuros. But I'm not allowed to have it. Someone who's not a chola is not allowed to have these macholos asuros. It may be that this is the debate that Rishonim have. It's pashtus, it's more than this. But this is the debate that Rishonim have, whether kelim are asur mishum, when a guy cooks in a kli, do the kelim become asur also? As a result of bishalakum. So the very end of Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Siman Tezayin. All the halachs of bishalakum are in Kuf Yud Gimel in Yoredeya. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Kalim Shabishal Behem Ovi Kuchavim. What do I mean that it's Tali on this issue? If it's a cheftz of machal sasuros, so it should be able to trafe up the Kalim. because it's machal sasura, so machal sasura strafes up the kelim. If it's din the maisa bishul, but it's not a din the maichel, the food itself, it's just the person doing the act of cooking, so maybe you shouldn't strafe up the kelim. That the bishul was done on this food, but it's so the food you're not allowed to eat, but it's not, you can't, it shouldn't strafe up the kelim. You could argue that it's a din in the of cheftz of machal sasura. It's just a question of how far they made the gzeira. Did they made the gzeira to extend to the kelim also? So what are we passing? So says Shulchan Aruch, kelim shabishul behem over the kachavim lefaneinu. Dvar m'sheish behem mishum b'shulei of the kachavim. Tzrichim hechshe. V'yesh omrim sheinim tzrichim. So what does Shulchan Aruch say? First he says tzrichim hechshe, and yesh omrim that they don't need. You don't need to kash the kelim. What's the rule? Shulchan Aruch says stam and then yesh omrim. Halacha is stam. You go with the stam statement. When Shulchan Aruch says yesh omrim and yesh omrim, you always go with the second yesh omrim. When the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Omrim V'Yesh Misha Omer, then you go with the Yesh Omrim, not the Yesh Misha Omer. Yesh Mi is a lashon that sounds like it's more of an outside shita, but not like a mainstream kind of thing. So the rules of Shulchan Aruch generally, Rav Avadia Yosef has a list in the back of one of the volumes of the Chavadas of all the rules of how to understand the lashon of Maran HaMechaber, how to understand. So this is one of the rules, is that you have a stam and the yesh omrim, you always pass on the stam. So it needs actual kelim. Why? Because it's cheft of macholos asuros. It becomes an actual issur of macholos asuros. So it seems that eitzah doesn't get started. To give some to a chol who doesn't need it, doesn't want it, and anyway, even if he did need it, that would be matir to give it to the chol. It wouldn't be matir for a non-chol to be able to have it. It seems that eitzah is not a good eitzah at all. Another potential eitzah that someone suggested is this is all happening in a Jew's house. Is there an issur of bishalakum when a guy cooks in a Jew's house? This is one of the lesser known kulas in bishalakum. A lot of people don't realize that this is even a discussion. If something happens in a Jew's house, the guy is cooking in a Jew's house, many rishonim hold that's mutter. It's not a problem with bishalakum. So how do we paskin on that? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Dalid and Sim Kuf Yud Gimel. Yesh mi shematir bishvacho shalanu, v'yesh mi sha'oser v'afilu b'diyevet. Some say it's mutter, and some say that it's asur even b'diyevet. You're not even allowed to rely on it b'diyevet. So what's the rule? You have a yesh mi and a yesh mi. It's not a yesh om v'yesh om, it's yesh mi and yesh mi. I don't know, I'm not sure what the rule is. Pashto says that it would go like the second day. Again, it would be like a yeshom v'yeshom, where you go like the second day. So, but it's irrelevant what the Mechaber says for us, because we're Ashkenazim. Let's see what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, u'b'di'eved yesh lismocha divrei amatirim. That b'di'eved we can rely on those who are mekel. B'di'eved. What does b'di'eved mean? That it was already done. That if it was already cooked, so you can rely on the mekelim. So does that mean you could have them turn it on over here? In this case, where it's Erev Shabbos, where it's already Shabbos started. So, generally speaking, there is a rule in Halacha that Shasadcha k'diyevet dami, that whatever is mutter in the b'diyevet situation would be mutter l'chadchila b'shasadcha. Meaning, if it's a shasadcha, even though it hasn't been done yet, you're allowed to treat that like it's b'diyevet. So, maybe you could say, okay, good, so this b'diyevet, we could be somech on the matirim over here. And then he says, Ramah goes even further, he says, v'afilu l'chadchila no'agin l'hakel b'beis Yisrael, Shashvachos v'ha'avadim mevashim b'beis Yisrael. Even the chadchila, the minig is to be makel to that the shvachim and the avadim do all the cooking, and the minig is to be makel if it's done in a Jewish home. So if you stop reading the Ramah right there, it sounds like, wow, it's tremendous kula. The minig is the chadchila that we allow goyim to cook in our homes. Says the Ramah, another phrase. You got to read to the end. Ki I efshar shelo yichata echad mibnei abayis ma'at. Why is the minig to be makel even the chadchila? Because there's no way that a guy is cooking in a Jewish home and a Jew is not going to help somehow in the cooking. Ramal Lishitasa holds all you need in order to take away the problem of Bishalakum is minor help from the Jew. You don't need a significant amount of help from the Jew. The Jew has to do something in the cooking process. What does he have to do? He has to light a fire, something, or light the fire from which the fire is lit, something like that. Very minor help in the cooking process is all you really need. The Jew to participate. So there's no way the Jew is going to watch the guy cooking and not do something, not be mechata a little bit but gechalm. So the Achronim already point out, is that really true? It's in no way he's not going to come and be mechata. What does mechata but gechalm mean? It means to stoke the coals to turn the fire higher. When you had a fire that was working with wood and coals, and you know you had to stoke it every once in a while to keep it going, to keep it alive. Yeah, maybe then, Efshar, there's not going to be mechata. When you have a gas stove that will stay at a steady flame for as long as you just leave it like that, Why would the Jew do anything? Just leave it alone. He let it be. So if the whole svara of the Ramah, that it's e'efshar shlo yichata echad mibnei abayis ma'at, that's all svara, why we could do this l'chadchila, well, it doesn't seem that svara would apply nowadays, and especially not on Shabbos, where not only is it efshar that the Jew is not going to be mechata, the Jew better not be mechata, because he's going to be in violation of Shabbos. So of course you wouldn't say that svara on Shabbos. But the Ramah was only using that svara to explain why l'chadchila it's mutter. We only need it to be mutter b'diavad, because remember, this is a shas of chak, they're making sheva brachos. We only need it to be mutter b'diavad, we don't need it to be mutter l'chadchila. So in order to make a mutter b'diavad, yesh l'smocha divrei matirim, Ramah says, you can be somech on those who are making. So here's the issue. Why is it that with avadim and shvachos in the Jewish home, why do these rishonim hold that it's mutter? So there are two basic deos in poskim as to what the svara was behind this heter. If you look at the shach, that we own these shvachos. Shivcha does not mean a housekeeper. Keep that in mind. Shivcha means a slave. It means a female slave. It does not mean a housekeeper. A housekeeper is an employee. It's a boss-employee relationship. So why is it that when she cooks, the slave woman cooks in the Jewish home, that it's not a problem? D'malacha de'ever ha'ovid kochavim b'Yisrael. Who? Umuzer alav b'Shabbos min haTorah, v'leisei b'chlal ovid kochavim, v'ilkach leisei b'chlal gzeres chasnas, ad kal nashona. He says, whatever he's doing, it's your malacha. It's so much so that you're not allowed to have him do malacha on Shabbos. It's not his malacha, it's your malacha. That's the relationship of Adon and Eved, is that his malacha, it's avdecha, it says in the pasuk. And therefore, there's no gzeres of chasnas when he does the malacha, it's your malacha. Ad kal nashon tshuvas Ramban Shevi Beis Yosef. So if that's the heter, then that won't apply for us. That's only when you own the person, and therefore every malacha they do is you, because you own them. We don't own our housekeepers. We don't own the people who are working out. We employ them. We don't own them. Abraham Lincoln came and freed the slaves, so that doesn't happen anymore. But, says the Shach, there's another svara. The other potential svara is that if they are doing it because that's their job, then there's no gzera of chasnus. What's the gzera of bishlakum? That you're going to come to have such a warm relationship with them because they're acting so nice to you and you're eating the food that they're cooking for you and everyone's just lovey-dovey and such a warm relationship that you're going to come to chasnus. Yeah, when's it going to come to chasnus? When they're doing it because they like you. But if they're doing it because they have to, because that's their job, that's what they have to do, and they don't really have a choice in the matter, so then there's no gezeirah of chasnas. Now, if that's the svara, then we have what to be makel with over here, even for us, right? Because we could be makel that the housekeeper that works in our house is employed by us. She's not doing it because she loves you. She's doing it because she's employed by you, and that's what she wants to do. So I saw in the Sefer Chelkas bin Yamin, there's a very nice set of svarim on Yoredeya. We have some of them here, I think. And there's a father-son tag team that's pretty much writing like a Mishnah Brura on Yoredeya. Phenomenal stuff. The father is Rav Feivel Kohn, the Badei HaShulchan, and he already wrote, I think, five volumes. He wrote on Nida, on Bas B'Chalav, on Taroves, on Tzedakah, he just came out with, on Tevila. He wrote, and the son, Rav Binyamin Kohn, wrote, I think, three volumes of Chelkas Binyamin. So on Ribbis he wrote one volume, and one on Ma'achole Yakum. So he's like known as a great expert in Ma'achole Yakum. He suggests that he's not even convinced that our shvachos are even like the shvachos that the Ramah is talking about that aren't slaves. He thinks our housekeepers are a different situation. Why? Because he says that the situation of the employee that they're talking about in Shulchan Aruch is not a slave, but it's someone that you've hired for a period of time, and they cannot easily get out of their employment. They can't just walk out one day and, you know, say, I'm done, and get out of their employment, you know. So long as they're doing something, they're muchrach, they're forced to do it a little bit, because they have to be there in that employment. But when it comes to our housekeepers, they can walk out whenever they want. They could just leave and, you know, you'll never find them. You know, there's nothing there. How many stories do you have to hear about she just didn't show up one Monday morning and there you are waiting to go to work and you don't have anyone to watch the kids or whatever. Right? That's, they could do whatever they want. It's a little scary. It's, maybe people should do a little more research into who they're hiring, you know, like find out very specific details like their last name, which most people don't know. You know, okay, but you know, if they could walk out of their employment at any time very easily without much of a fight, so he's not convinced that this kula would work for our housekeepers. And I think the minhag of poskim is that poskim are pretty much machmir in this. I mean, you come home from work one day and the housekeeper cooked dinner. So most rabbanim will tell you, throw out the food. You cannot eat the food. Most rabbanim will tell you, do not have to kasher the kelim, because even though the Shulchan Aruch passings, you have to kasher the kelim, but since you have a yesh or Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to kasher the kelim, plus you have this yesh mishamatir b'shvachu shalanu, so the chance that... So when you put two and two together, at least for the kelim, we could say that you don't have to kasher the kelim. So there's good reason to assume that you may not have to kasher the kelim. But the food, I think we're generally pretty machmir about.
Also, wouldn't it be a low plug rabbanim?
It doesn't seem so, because the Ramah says we pass him like this, b'di'evet, in the b'di'evet situation, we are somich on this shita in Rishonim that holds that it's not a problem with shvach l'shalanim. So it seems that, at least b'di'evet, and again, this would only work for b'di'evet, l'chadchila to have the housekeeper cooking all the time, that's definitely no good. The Ramah is only b'di'evet, and when he says the chachilu no again, so we pointed out that's only if you're vadai gonna stoke. If you're not even around the house and the housekeeper is cooking for you and you come home, and so it's certainly you can't do that. That's a big no. So it seems. So can we rely on this as a kula over here that it's shvach l'shalanu, she's in our house, it's a shasat chak. Maybe this would be a b'di'evet situation. So it's at least debatable with our housekeepers. You know, fit in that category according to the second svara, that it doesn't have to be someone you own, and it seems that the Ramah Paskin's like the second svara, that it doesn't actually have to be somebody that you own. So there seems to be room to be made, unless you buy into Rav Binyamin Cohen's chilik between our housekeepers and the shvachos that the Ramah was talking about. We were once, Rav Shechter was once here giving a shir to the Rebbeim in the yeshiva. In the middle of the shir, someone came running in from the office. You have a phone call. From they said the name of a family. It's a name that you would all recognize. A very, very chash of a family. They're making a shever brachas right now, and the oven had turned off before the food was cooked, and the guy had turned it back on and cooked all the food in the house, and the guy didn't tell anybody about it till afterwards. So now everyone's showing up to the shever brachas in 15 minutes. All the food was cooked by a guy. What should they do? So Rav Shechter was mekel on this day in Rishonim. That such a shasad chak that you could be mekel. He said on the spot you could definitely be mekel like this day in Rishon. So maybe you could say shasad chak in the Yevon in this kind of situation that you could have the guy turn on the fire. So is it not? It's not 100% glad, because you could argue it. So but it's there. The potential exists. Rav Shlomo Miller came up with the following etzah, and this was the humbling part. Rav Shlomo Miller says it's enough in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masech Savad Zohar, and it's Paskin in the very next Sif in Shulchan Aruch. Gemara says, let's say a guy lights a forest on fire. Lights the whole forest. He wants to clear the forest. He wants to clear the land, swamp or forest, whatever. So he lights the whole place on fire. And there happen to be grasshoppers in the forest, kosher ones. And the grasshoppers get cooked from the fire. Are you allowed to eat those grasshoppers? So first of all, why did you talk about grasshoppers? Why not a cow? And the cow gets barbecued. Because you need a shecht a cow. If the cow gets burnt to death, it's a nevela. You're not allowed to eat it, right? So grasshoppers, there's no requirement of shechita. There's no din of shechita. So it gets cooked. You have locusts that are a kosher min of locusts, like they just had in Eretz Yisrael recently, and in Mitzrayim before, in Egypt before that, right? So you have it, it's cooked, got charred. So are you allowed to eat those grasshoppers? Says the Gemara, yes. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch explains. If the guy is cooking and has no kavana whatsoever to cook, mutter, you're allowed to eat the food that he cooked. Ketzad, ovid kuchavim shehitzis or ba'agam. A guy lights a swamp on fire. Kedei lahavir achatzir, in order to clear out the area from all the bushes or whatever. V'nisbash lubo chagavim, and grasshoppers get cooked. Harei lemutarim, you're allowed to eat the grasshoppers. Even if grasshoppers get served at state dinners, right? If it's not halal shulchan malachim, then you have another heter. But even if they would serve grasshoppers at state dinners, I don't think they do. In America, v'cheinim charach harosh. I'm sure President Obama has been in a situation in a country somewhere where he's had to eat grasshoppers. V'cheinim charach harosh. And similarly, if you singe the head of an animal, lahavir haseir, to take the hair off of the head. But the thing is, the animal has ears on its head also, and ears are very easily cooked because they're somewhat flimsy. So he actually, he's just singeing off the hair and he cooks the ears. So you're allowed to eat the ears for those who like to eat ears. It's mutter, not a problem of bishalakum. No kavana whatsoever to cook. His kavana is just to remove the hair. So Sefer Shlomo Miller, on the spot without thinking for a second, he said, have a guy turn off all the electricity in the house. Don't tell him why. While the electricity's off, someone should turn on the crock pot. You're not doing anything then. Electricity's off. You can do it with your elbow if it's mukzah or whatever. Then tell a guy the electricity's off. We need you to turn on the electricity in the house. The guy doesn't realize that he's cooking the food in the crock pot when he's turning on all the power in the house. Every light is off. Every clock is off. Everything is off. So... So have him turn on all the electricity in the house. He's burning the swamp down. And it happens to be the grasshopper, the chalent, is going to get cooked as he's burning the swamp down. So it's not the Jew doing the cooking on Shabbos. It's the guy doing the cooking, but it's not Bishalakum. Brilliant, no?
You could tell him to shut off the electricity and then turn it off.
Yeah, I think so. As long as he doesn't realize, if he realizes that it's all because of the crackpot, then it's a problem. But if he doesn't realize that that's what it's for, and he's just, look, the electricity's off, I'm turning on the electricity. So then that l'chorah is 100% mutter. I think it's glot. Probably, there could be practical issues, meaning if the oven is set on a timer or something, and it's electric, and so by turning off the electricity, it could make everything go haywire. Like every clock in the house is going to be down. Like you have to cheshbon what turning off the electricity is going to do for the whole rest of the house. When you go to the circuit breaker in the garage or something, and you turn the whole thing off. So you have to be careful about that. But I thought it was a brilliant etza. This is a discussion of Binyamin Cohen, and Chalkas Binyamin discusses, he says, wait a second. The Shulchan Aruch tells us a little bit later on in the Sif, if a Jew puts food in an oven and the guy has no idea that the food is in the oven and the guy turns on the oven, the food is aser, it's bishalakum. He says, wait a second, over there the guy has no kavanah to be mevashal the food, so why is that bishalakum? Over here when he's burning the head, he's burning the hair off the head of the animal, or he's lighting the swamp on fire, because he has no kavanah, it's not bishalakum? What's the difference? The difference is pashut. When he's lighting an oven, what does he think that fire is going to be used for? It's obviously meant for bishul when he's lighting an oven. He doesn't know that there happens to be something in there right now. Okay, so he doesn't know there's something in there right now, but obviously it's meant to be used for bishul. It's going to be used for bishul. When he's burning a swamp down, he's not thinking about the grasshoppers. He knows that there are grasshoppers there, yes, but that's not what he's doing it for. When he's singeing the hair off the animal's head, he knows that animals have ears, but that's not what he's doing it for. He's not trying to cook the ears. So here also, he may even know that the crockpot is plugged in, that this will turn the crockpot back on. That's not what he's doing it for. And it's not a normal way to do it. You don't cook by turning on a circuit breaker. Right? You cook by turning on a crackpot, by lighting an oven. So it would seem that this Eitzah is 100% glot. That there's no... I don't think you can take issue with it. It seems pretty clear. The Feresh and Shulchan Aruch. And that's... But the godless of it is to think of it on the spot. It's to not just know that Allah. Yeah, I also learned the Gemara Nevoz. I've learned through Bishalakim. I opened up my Chalkas Binyamin to see what Rabbi Yamin... I had everything underlined. I learned through the Sif. I couldn't think of it on the spot.
Is that not considered mitzvah? Can you move the switch? Or?
First of all, even the guy can move the switch. It can't be the same guy, because then he's going to realize. But it would be mukzah. So you'd put it with your elbow, something like that. You do it with a shinoi of some sort. That chora would be absolutely fine. Okay, so that was a case study in halacha. All right.